Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd 2 Podcast. I am Bo Oliver, joined today by Aaron, the Nerd 2 Monkey, and a little later we'll be featuring Teddy, the Nerd 2 person, the Nerd 2 Teddy, but he's not a teddy bear. And we are back to talk about the world of movies, TV, video games, but actually we're not. We don't have a lot of stories today. So we're going to focus this podcast on the new Spike Lee movie, The Five Bloods, get into a nice little spoiler discussion, and a little bit later we will be reviewing The King of Staten Island. So we'll have a little two-for-one special here, Aaron. And then, of course, fan questions. Yeah. Did you submit any?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well,
did you ask for them?
Well, you can at NerdSoup. Yeah, I did. For you at gmail.com or NerdSoup on Twitter. BoSoup, NerdSoup Monkey, Teddy NerdSoup, right? Anthony JQ Nash, he's on Twitter too. And Instagram. And Purple Girl NS.
Yeah.
And Stu. Stu's out there. Lorenzo Warren.
Yeah, he liked one of my tweets the other day. That was nice.
Yeah, and he put me on the story.
Oh.
Yeah, he put our video on the story. So, yeah. Shout out from Stu. But how are you, Aaron? Might as well, you know.
Not bad.
Little formal here with just the two of us to begin.
Yeah.
Teddy brings all the chaos, you know?
Oh, he's going to come in with something. You know he has something up his sleeve.
Bull in the China shop, yeah.
You know what movie I watched the other day? The Patriot. Remember that movie?
Oh, love it. Dude, you're the third person to mention that.
Really?
Yeah. So many people, Jason Isaacs, love that performance.
Well, it was like...
I was watching an Avatar, sorry to interrupt you, behind the scenes, and Jason Isaac voices a character in Avatar that's very much like his character in The Patriot. And the creators, that's what they watched The Patriot one day, and they were like, that guy, let's get him.
Underrated villain, yeah, when you talk about, like, best villains ever. But that's a movie I watched a million times when I was a kid. I wanted to watch it again to see how it held up. Sick parenting, by the way. Not only was it rated R, but just completely historically inaccurate.
No, that's how we won the war.
Oh, man, yeah. Mel Gibson just ran through with a flag.
And then the America started coursing through the thing.
It's such a ridiculous movie, especially that when everyone's retreating. He's just running with a flag, and everyone's like, oh, and that's how we won that battle.
Yep.
It's just so many ridiculous things. Even, like, the way they just glossed over slavery in that era, completely egregious.
Yeah.
And the warfare, the linear warfare where they just took turns volleying bullets back and forth while they all stood in formation. I don't get it, because they don't wear, like, armor. I feel like a group of knights would be able to beat them, like a medieval army would destroy a revolutionary army.
Yeah, well, I think they, you know, it's they got bored of that, you know?
Because they have armor, the bullets won't hit them. Like, they won't go through, and they'll just get close up and just fucking cut them to pieces.
Heath Ledger in that movie, too, right?
Yeah.
We need that. We need, like, historic army battles.
I mean,
who would beat who?
They're fucking loading the muskets. You know how many arrows would be raining down on them? They don't have any armor. They're wearing, like, these cloth little formal wear.
Right. It is about respect, though. They know both sides aren't coming armored up.
I don't like it. I could have been a general back then. We would have won the war. Well, we won in, like, 6. I would have done it in, like, 5.
Well, speaking of wars, we have actually a war movie to talk about today. The Five Bloods, the new Spike Lee movie. Spike Lee joint. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oof. Might want to restart the whole
thing. Wow.
Yeah, that's an egregious error.
What if he's listening right now?
Yeah, he's just shaking his head. He was going to invite me to the Nick game next year, courtside with Spike. But yeah, no, it's always exciting when you get a movie by Spike Lee, because he has a very distinct style of filmmaking, and that's the best directors always do. You can always tell when it's their type of movie or their type of joint. And yeah, it was very, very timely.
Yeah, especially a lot of the themes of the film, and even just timely in the sense of this kind of quarantine era we're living in, where movie theaters have been shut down and there hasn't really been anything to watch, any new releases. There's been a few here and there, but I think this timing to get a Spike Lee joint when there's nothing else, it was awesome.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, because they shot it in advance. They didn't know what was going to happen. And then also all the civil unrest. It's one of the movies that Netflix highlighted for all the Black Lives Matter movies that they were featuring on their page. And yeah, to get the perspective of the Vietnam War, because it's such a, you know, it's such an embarrassment in American history, that war. It was such a pointless war. It was for the effort of stopping communism in Asia, and they tackle that in this movie. You know, they have the broadcasts to the African American soldiers. Why are you fighting us when you don't even have rights in your own country? Just seeing this war through the perspective of African American soldiers, you know, it changes everything. It's an experience that hasn't been highlighted throughout history. So that's why it's so great that Spike Lee is the one to take. Because originally it was supposed to be an Oliver Stone Vietnam heist movie. But they reworked the script and said, let's do this from the perspective of an African-American. And it's just, or African-Americans. And it just makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah, just that whole dynamic too, where, and not only this war, but other wars around this time where there was such civil unrest in America. And kind of, like you said, African-Americans in this country to go fight for the country and come back and still not have some of the freedoms that they deserved. And
yeah, like, their tours in Vietnam coincided with the death of Martin Luther King.
Yeah. So, and like how you, it reminded me of Watchmen, that scene you talked about where they were broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
When I think it was the German soldiers dropped the letters to the African-American soldiers, basically saying the same thing. So that perspective on the war is, it's really unique, and we really don't get much stories like that when it comes to war films.
Yeah, and it opens with Muhammad Ali, who is famous for not going to Vietnam and losing his heavyweight title and losing years in the prime of his career, and it ends with Martin Luther King, who, after the Civil Rights had passed, the Civil Rights Act passed, he focused his attention on Vietnam, and he talked about how it was an immoral war, an unjust war. So it kind of feels like a boiling point in American history. But, you know, just going to some of the characters in this film, I thought the acting all throughout was incredible. But the lead performance, I guess the lead, Delroy Lindo as Paul, incredible. I mean, everyone's been talking about it on Twitter, but it's truly one of the best performances that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really is incredible. He has a couple of long monologues in this movie that are just breathtaking and gripping. And it's really his movie when I look at it, because the film itself, I'm kind of mixed on. I think the first hour and a half, I thought was very sloppy. Wasn't really that cohesive, but I think once it got to a certain point in the film, the last hour 15 was breathtaking. And I think that's what really saved it. Where like in the first half, I would probably give a 7, but that last hour is like a 9 plus, because that's how great it was. And most of that was Lindo's performance.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you look at the first half and the second half, because it's really about, you know, the second half is about who these men became after the war, and the first half is how the war really shaped them. And the character of Storm and Norman, played by Chadwick Boseman, he's kind of this just mythical figure that hangs over all the characters in this movie. And he was almost like more of a father figure to them than a brother, because they talk about, you know, we didn't know our own history. They didn't teach us this in school. We learned a lot about ourselves, about life, from Storm and Norman. And it's cool because he's a fictional character, but even within the story, he feels like a fictional character.
Yeah.
The way that they're all holding on to him, and especially Paul. And I told you this before off mic, that it feels like a better version of Joker, you know, because it's about a man who really just loses his mind because society has truly failed him. You know, since the day he was born, he was set up to fail. You know, the Vietnam just heightens that times 10, you know, and he just couldn't take it.
Yeah,
because they have that line, sorry to interrupt, that we all have PTSD, but not like Paul, man.
Yeah,
you know, no. He brought the whole war with him, and it just never left him.
Yeah, and going back to Storm and Norman, Boseman's character, just his, like you said, he's not in it for that long, but he just, his presence is there throughout the whole film. Just the way they talk to him, the way they look back, and their experiences with him. It's really one of those unique kind of performances where it is almost like a mythic character, like a legend that you hear about. And in the film itself, man, I mean, wonderfully shot. I think it's one of the more beautiful looking films of this year. Well, I'll even throw in last year too, because there really hasn't been much this year.
Yeah, I don't even know what this year is. Well, that's why he's so good, because the source material, it's always very explicit. It's in your face. You know, those long monologues. I'm going to direct you, the audience. I'm going to direct the government. I'm going to direct the president. I'm addressing everyone. But he coats his films with such beautiful cinematography and editing, you know, the double dolly shots, somebody hugging, then flip the camera and it's from the other side. He puts style in his movies. One of my favorite shots of the film is when David is looking up at the Five Bloods after he comes, and he's got that innocent face on his look, like he knew what he did, but he's still trying to play the kid here,
because
he's got these hardened veterans. But, I mean, all throughout, I mean, we have Isaac Whitlock Jr. and Clark Peters, the Wire veterans. I thought their characters were very good, Otis and Melvin, because they each took home a different part of the war. Like Otis's character, the relationship he had with the Vietnamese woman, mm-hmm. and the child that he had. You know, you saw that in Full Metal Jacket, when they were taking turns with these women, and you know, some of the atrocities that were committed on both sides. You see how all that just was split between these five men.
Yeah, I think some of the supporting characters, they could have had more with them. I felt like some of the performances and some of the characterization, I think, was a little lacking in the beginning. But like I said, the first half wasn't really my cup of tea, as Spike Lee would put it. But once it really meshed together, that's when I think a lot of these characters excelled towards the end of the film. and like you were saying before, Spike Lee, he's not the most subtle when it comes to what he's trying to say, which I think I do like, because I think some people might...
Well, you can't be very subtle about the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
There's already enough subtlety. There's already enough secrecy when it comes to what we were doing in Vietnam.
No, and I respect it, because it's like, this is what my film's about, this is what I want to say, and this is what I believe, so... I mean, I can give a rat's ass if you don't agree with me. This is what it is.
Right, and I think that these are the best films that he makes. You know, this type of film, Black Klansman, Do the Right Thing, when he has something to say, because he is a very smart individual and he's a good filmmaker. So you can take on these explosive and, you know, hard to talk about topics and make it so that it is beautiful art. And I think that's what this movie is. Some of the supporting characters, I mean, Jean Reno as the Frenchman, the shady French business dealer, he was okay. I mean, there were so many individual scenes that were amazing.
Well, that's like what he does great, and that's what something in Black Klansman, one of his other more recent film, that he has the ability to string together two or three fantastic scenes that, like, for me personally, in this film, that brought me right back in and got me engaged right away. Back to back to back, and build it off. They built off each other somewhere around the middle of the film.
The heist itself wasn't especially clever. I mean, when they find the gold, it was kind of silly. He's going down to take a poop, and he finds the gold bars. But like you said, it did capture the kind of the randomness of the Vietnamese jungle. And we have the character who played kind of David's love interest, Hetty, who was working to get rid of all these mines that were there from when her country was involved in Vietnam and her people. So you kind of see some of that guilt. But going back to the heist itself, you know, a scene like when he does step on the mine, and they have to tie him up with the rope, and they're all going to pull on three. The tension surrounding that scene, and then the way it was instantly able to flip where now Paul's the villain. Paul was rallying all the troops to save his son, and now he's the bad guy. You know, the tension, the buildup, the continuation of those moments, to me, they were so engrossing. And the ending was so explosive as well. Like, the way that they got there wasn't especially clever, like I said, but those scenes, they were just so great, and the more characters they introduced, the more tension and drama they introduced, the more engaged I became as the movie went on. And like you said, the second half is much better than the first half, and I think that's why I'm so high on the movie, because the ending's great.
Yeah, it really is.
Great use of one of the best albums of all time too, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. The lyrics in that album, the older generation always says it, listen to those words, it's still happening today. The a cappella version of, which one did he go a cappella with?
I don't remember. But the soundtrack was great. I wasn't a fan of the score. I felt like at times it was a little conflicting of what was on screen.
Yeah.
But the use of music was very, very well done in this
movie.
That
one, you know, in the beginning when they're in the bar where it says Apocalypse Now, that one Marvin Gaye song, I wonder if he was influenced by Robin Thicke. It sounded very similar to Blurred Lines. but I think it was either What's Happening, Brother, or God is Love, I think, was the acapella. But God is Love is what Paul sings at the end when he's digging his own grave. Talk about an incredible ending for that character. I mean, so sad. He just couldn't escape this war, man. And he talks about that he never went to talk to a therapist, that he talks to Storm and Norman every night. And it makes you doubt if he was really doing that, because at the end it seemed like he hadn't talked to him in so long, because he was holding in this guilt of friendly fire, of killing his friend, killing this person who was a mentor to him and a father figure. And it was just so sad all around. And the way that he was able to bring that emotion to his performance, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that we'll see a better performance this year. But yeah, what'd you think of how the flashbacks, how they played the same character?
I like that.
That confused me in the beginning.
In the beginning, I was like, yeah, what's going on here? But it's kind of reverse. It's the opposite of The Irishman. It's like, okay, these characters are younger, but it's like they're seeing it from their perspective as older men. And it was sad knowing that Chadwick Boseman never grew old. You know, that's how they remembered him. They just remembered him as a young man. So that makes it even sadder, seeing all these old geezers trying to pretend to be soldiers.
The flashback scenes I liked, kind of like, I liked the presentation too. With
the action was great.
Aspect ratio and the color gratings to make it seem like, it kind of, the movie kind of did feel like a documentary at times. And there are some like real world clips that they play in the beginning and in the end. And
well, yeah, even in the present day when they were on the boat, you know, it's one of the great best scenes of the movie when Paul has his breakdown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they're all just filming each other with that camcorder.
Yeah. And stylistically, Spike Lee, he's very creative, and I like that in his films. It's like Tarantino-esque, where it complements the story, their stylization, and I think it's always interesting and fun to see what they're going to do and what other creative ways they implement into their films.
Yeah, did you like the character of David, Paul's son?
Not really.
No.
I didn't think it was...
You think it's a case of this actor is just clearly better, and they do share some important scenes together? I don't know if they gave David... I mean, David is... He's in a tough position throughout mm-hmm. this movie, you know, because he's caught between wanting to help his father and their friends retrieve this gold. And it's cool how they kind of show that, yeah, a lot of these characters did well for themselves, but it's that old capitalistic greed that brought them back to the place that almost destroyed them, almost yeah. took their lives. And that's what I liked. I liked the whole idea of hiding the goat, but yeah, David, you know, kind of the new yeah. age.
He was fine. I did like that kind of comparison of the old school versus the new school and yeah. their outlook on different things. So I did like that. And I wasn't a fan of the characters, people who were looking for the mines.
Okay.
I felt like there were kind of nothing characters.
Yeah, no, even the like, love interest was okay. She was...
It was a weird scene when he's telling her about, like, his mother dying, and she's, like, laughing.
She's like, oh, sorry for bringing it up. Yeah, for him, it's very sad talking about, you know, the war kind of robbed him of having a father. Because mm-hmm. his dad could never... Little Tywin Tyrion going on there could never forgive him for his mother dying in childbirth. So that was sad. And I thought he was... Yeah, he was good. I mean, Paul, the guy who plays Paul, I mean, Delroy... Lindo is Paul. He just, it's a well-acted movie all around, but he just overshadows everyone.
Yeah, he really is the kind of takeaway from the film. And I don't know, without his performances, I don't think I would have liked this movie that much. I think his performance brought so much to that film, and I think it kind of relies on that character. Like, this character of Paul has to work because it's his story and kind of his transformation that represents all the themes that are being portrayed in the movie.
Yeah,
so if his character doesn't work, it loses a lot, and he absolutely hit it out of the park there.
Yeah, and his ending being killed by those Vietnamese soldiers or officers, whatever they were, they say, you know, that money's for us, and technically it was. That's why it was sent there. And there are just so many layers to the war. It's the Vietnamese people feel that we're the victims of American aggression. You know, you people started this war. It was your war. It was the American war. That's how they referred it. And you see that perspective from Vin, who also has that history in the country, but he's more sympathetic towards the soldiers. But, you know, there are a lot of layers to it, man. There are a lot of layers. And that's why I enjoyed it, because I enjoyed history. I enjoyed Spike Lee, and I enjoy movies. So it was a perfect recipe for me. I think out of 10, I would go 9.
Yeah.
9 out of 10.
There were a couple scenes, too, where I felt it was odd. The jumps, where a scene would end, and then it would jump to another scene. And
yeah.
it's like there was no in-between. It's just two different events happening. There's one where he's having that moment with Storm and Norman, where he's having that vision, and then it just cuts to him with the Vietnamese soldiers.
Right.
And there's another one where I think when they kind of do the coup, and they mm-hmm. take him down, and then it cuts, and then they're all just hanging out again.
Well, I kind of like that, because they were like true buddies. One day you want to kill your buddy, the next day you're best friends. And for this, it was just moments. It was from moment to moment.
Yeah.
But that moment where he does kind of, I guess, reconcile with Storm and Norman, and he forgives himself, because that's what he needed to do. That's it. You know, he's going to die at this point. He's dug himself so deep in the Vietnamese jungle that he's got no other outlet here. So that's the end. That was just the end of his story. I guess, yeah, it could throw somebody off. It's just a bit abrupt.
Yeah, but...
But what would you give it out of 10?
Probably give it around an 8, 8 low 8s. Like I said, the first half for me was about a 7 and the last half about a 9. So I feel
yeah.
like you kind of just mesh those together.
Eight. Yeah, you average that out.
Maybe, I think I gave it an 8.2, and I think
whoa.
That's where I'm going to keep it now after reflecting on it for the past couple days, but... Yeah, it's refreshing to have such a good movie from a great director in a time like this, and I think the themes and the message and the performances were all fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no, this is not a cold opening. Oh, no, we're back. Yeah, no, we're back. Yeah, we just did The Five Bloods, and we're here with Teddy.
Yep.
Wow, the power of editing, huh? That's incredible. Ted, how'd you get here? What?
Seamless. Been here the whole time.
Guys, knock right in like Osmosis Jones, you know?
Just my immune system is Osmosis, dude.
What happened?
My immune system is Osmosis.
It is not Osmosis. I've seen you get sick in real time.
You guys really did.
You literally, yeah. You came here fully healthy and you got sick 15 minutes in. It's unbelievable.
I didn't get corona, so.
I'm surprised. Honestly, yeah. Miss Rona just left you out, huh? She saw you're weakened. She's like, nah.
You know Atlanta has the antibodies?
Wow.
Yeah.
Asymptomatic carrier?
I couldn't tell you.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I don't have anything. I got tested.
Yeah, but you need to get tested like every... I mean, if she got tested...
What?
that means you very well could have it now. It's just because you got tested once 3 weeks ago.
You need to get tested again. I don't have corona.
And I gave him the privilege of opening my doorknob today.
Yo, I don't have corona.
We changed the policy.
If anything, I'm more healthy than you.
How?
Because I'm going to get it and I'm going to beat it. So if I do get it.
Well, actually, we're going to review the second movie on the podcast, right? That's in the description. The King of Staten Island, the new Pete Davidson, Judd Apatow comedic film.
Not a joint.
No, different.
Yeah.
It's a Judd Apatow production.
Yes.
It was a serious movie. It was more, it was drama, but with
dramedy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that. Just coin that right now. No one's ever said that.
I wonder. I enjoyed it. Did you guys like it?
No, I didn't like it.
I didn't
really
see it.
Oh. You didn't like it?
Well, Aaron hates Pete Davidson.
I know. What the hell?
I don't hate
Pete
Davidson.
You went and wanted. Yes. Yeah. You're one of those guys.
I don't
Why
hate Pete Davidson.
Why is Pete Davidson famous?
I've never said that. Nash hates Pete Davidson.
Yeah, but you almost. You like. You're moderate. You're not one side
I don't think
or
I've
the
ever
other.
Do you like Pete Davidson?
Any opinion on Pete Davidson?
Well, do you like him?
Well,
or
say
not?
It right now. Do you like him?
You hated his first movie.
This isn't his first movie.
It's his.
He started
it's
it.
His first. It's his baby.
He was in a Hulu movie earlier this year.
That doesn't count.
Why not?
Which Hulu movie?
The one when he's probably plays
detective?
The same character.
Okay.
Pothead.
Yeah.
Wacky detective pothead.
I like Pete Davidson. I like Judd Apatow. I like Bill Burr. I like I liked all the cast, but I just didn't like the movie. It wasn't I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
I think the complete opposite.
Wow, okay.
I liked the whole cast and I did like the movie. I thought it was funny. It's based on a true story.
I found it not funny at all.
You didn't laugh. Bill Burr was making me crack up the entire time.
There's a couple of laughs, but nothing.
That whole scene in the baseball stadium, you didn't find that funny?
Not really.
No.
This didn't work for me, the comedy.
I did like
I thought Pete Davidson was not great in this film.
He doesn't seem like a good actor.
No.
But you know what's like fucked up? This is like the epitome of making a comedy. It's like, I love it and he hates it. Not hate it, but he didn't like it as much as I liked it. But
yeah, because you have a weak sense of humor.
But it just all depends on the weak sense of humor. It just depends on who's watching, man.
Comedy is so subjective.
Yeah.
It's so hard to recommend a comedy. It's like, I found it funny. I'm never going to say you're going to find this funny because you never know.
But even
it's like when you show somebody a video and you keep looking at them to see if they're laughing. It's the worst when they don't laugh.
Oh, my God. When you show someone a video and they have no interest in the video.
Well, even a comedy,
a pity grin.
Even a comedy that doesn't make me laugh, I can still like kind of understand where I could see why people might like it, or I can just appreciate the story.
It's like humor that you don't laugh at. But
yeah, but I can understand. This didn't work for me at all. I think the story, there was a great movie there. That's what I said on Twitter, because I think a lot of when they focused on the relationship between Bill Burr and Pete Davidson's character and his mother, I think that was all pretty well done, and also all the moments where they're in the firehouse together. But that didn't happen until like the last 45 minutes of the movie. It's a long movie too, and
yeah, just
like Apatow,
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah,
like
I feel like the pacing was off. They really, you know, once they started showing aspects of the film I liked, it was too little too late, and they just went away from it, and I don't know, I just it wasn't
I
for me.
I don't know, yeah, I guess I thought the pacing was great. There wasn't really a dull part for that, for me at least.
I think the funniest part was the tattoo.
Yeah, when they're in the
on the basketball
hilarious.
Court. His friend was like,
Igor? Yo. Yeah. Yo, I didn't realize Igor was so short until they were playing basketball when they kept shitting on him in the basement.
Yeah, that was a funny part. But other than that, I think the story they were trying to tell, I mean, there was no, I think they shied away from at points where there could have been more emotion. When it's
well, I watched the trailer and I see it as someone who's kind of just depressed and hasn't really gotten out of the rut that is his life on Staten Island. So he's like, he's too old to be still living with mom.
He's 24. He's just not really a great character.
He's a baby.
I mean, he's yeah.
For millennials, right?
Well, it's more his father passed away 9/11.
Right. Yeah.
Not 9/11 in real life, but in
wasn't
the movie.
It? Oh, it was elevator fire during the
yeah. So his father
they didn't use 9/11.
No.
No.
I think we need Bo to watch it to be the deciding
factor.
Yeah.
Give my vote.
But there was never like a part where like he like reflects on like there's this great scene where he goes with them to fight a fire. And I feel like that would have been a perfect time for him to reflect on his own father and what he did and how
he did
the sacrifice he made. Not really. Not in like a
yeah, when he was watching Bill going into the fire, he was realizing what his dad does. And that,
but that moment, like, they could have done it so much more, where he actually like breaks down and has a moment of reflection and kind of, I don't know, there was just nothing more to the character and the film than what they, I guess, put on the surface, which I don't know, and it wasn't funny enough to carry a mediocre story.
Right, yeah, you can kind of forgive with comedies if the story's not that great. That's the thing, the appeal of this movie is the fact that his dad was a fireman and he died. That was interesting to me, you know, growing up with a, you know, I was always at the firehouse with my dad, and he loved his job, and he loved the New York Fire Department culture. You know, that was, he really saw it as a
brotherhood. Those were some of the best scenes when they're in the firehouse. And
yeah, when they're having beers.
And Bill Burr as a New York fireman, to me, is perfect. You know, he's got the Boston accent. But you see that all the time. The police commissioner a couple years ago had he's from Boston, you know? So you see the crossover between the two states. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested in checking it out, because I'm not like Aaron or Nash. I don't hate Pete Davidson because he dates beautiful women. I mean,
give the guy a break.
Where are these? Where is this all coming from?
I don't know. I thought you
I've never had an anti-Pete Davidson.
I feel like he probably anti-tweeted him one time.
No.
Yeah, let's look. Yeah, let's get stats on that. Aaron Pete Davidson tweets. Nash, definitely.
Oh, yeah. He hates Pete Davidson.
He would just say it just to say it, even if he doesn't.
Well, I think Nash is like that, where he'll watch a movie going into it wanting not to like it.
I was pumped for this movie. It got good reviews. And
I paid $20 for this fucking thing.
Yeah, me too. And like we were talking about with The Five Bloods.
If that was Jonah Hill in that movie, you would have loved it. Nuanced, incredible, a return to form.
Jonah Hill's a better actor.
Return to form. Jonah Hill, I've never seen him before.
Yeah, not like funnier than ever.
Different
weight? You'll have to wait and see. I'm still interested.
But yeah, it's like a movie that got good reviews. Judd Apatow, Pete Davidson.
71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so I was excited for it because there's not that much movies, and I don't know, just didn't work.
That was nice getting clash. That update on my phone the other day of Regal Theaters coming back in July.
July 10th, yeah.
Yeah, wow. It was nice. It's like, we're coming back.
What was Apatow's last film? What they're
going to do? Trainwreck.
That was his last one?
Yeah, 2016, right? And he had a pretty big gap between that. I think it was
Trainwreck. Was that with LeBron?
Yeah.
I really liked Trainwreck.
That's kind of good. The breakout role for LeBron James.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like Pete Davidson, where like this is his film, like his arrival, and he's going to be, you know, he's already a big star, but he'd be taken serious as an actor after this, just like with LeBron. No one knew LeBron before he was in a Judd Apatow movie.
Well, this is Pete Davidson's peak right now. You know, it's the quote-unquote 15 minutes of fame, and I don't think he's going anywhere but this is the most famous he's ever been.
If I was Pete Davidson, I'd like where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're a household name, but you're not a household name, you know, kind of like that, and right in between. It's like, everyone knows who you are, but no one really knows what you're in.
I mean, he had his ex-girlfriend talk about how big his dick was. You know,
she did.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I mean, that's usually the ex. They would say the opposite. That's how you know.
Oh yeah, you lie.
Yeah. Well, that's how you know. Like, even your ex is like, hey, I can't lie.
Facts are facts. <It's packing. Yeah. laughs> Men lie, women lie. Numbers don't. Well, King of Staten Island. What would you guys give it out of 10? You gave it a 5.8, right?
Yes, I did.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
Yeah, 7.2.
7.2?
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Settle that out at like a 6.5.
What are you gonna be, like a 4?
Well, people like it, so don't.
I doubt you're gonna like it. If he didn't like it, I don't think you're gonna like it.
It's boring too.
Yeah.
If it's boring, then
it's not boring.
Oh, there's nothing worse than a boring comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I could take a boring drama because I'm like, it's a drama.
Is my sense of humor bar low? I guess.
Wow, you have him questioning himself now.
I thought it was hilarious, and he's acting like, I don't think he's.
No, there.
Did you flinch when you watched the movie?
There are movies that I think are funny that these guys, my friends, don't think are funny. Like, you guys don't really like Get Him to the Greek, right? It's one of my favorite movies.
I think it's funny.
Oh.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I thought Diddy's really funny in that.
That's Biggest Loser Time. Biggest Loser Time.
Is that from Get Him to the Greek?
I think so.
Oh. Are you sure?
Are you singing? He's on the phone?
Okay. I just remember the Diddy scenes.
Yeah, that's a Diddy scene.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Surprisingly good actor, you know? Hasn't done much, Diddy.
Yeah, get Diddy in more movies.
Yeah, TV shows.
Making a Band.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite Chappelle Show skits.
I don't remember that.
Oh, one. Chappelle came out with the special.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It was pretty serious. It wasn't much comedy in it. He like sprinkled the comedy and everything serious. I'd watch it. I like his view on what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
he talks about what happened with George Floyd.
He's one of the celebrity voices. No, I watched it. I was actually, I've been going to bed real early, but that night I happened to be up at like 1:30 a.m. when they dropped it.
I saw it too, that when it came
out. Yeah, yeah. So I just watched it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And no, definitely. It was more of just his perspective, you know? And he's done that with stand-ups where they are more intimate and personal, smaller crowds, and it's less comedy and more just him kind of just speaking his mind on the issues of the day. And he's, like I said, he's one celebrity voice where I want to hear his take. I want to hear his opinion.
Oh, exactly.
He's such a brilliant mind, and he's known for just going out there and speaking his mind in general. Anyway, that's how he does his comedy.
But just the way he speaks, he's like he's a fucking preacher, man. He's a really good public speaker.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He can't pose himself.
Well, I clicked it, and it came up, like, Netflix is a joke or whatever. Like, what's their YouTube channel name or their comedy? Whatever.
Netflix is a joke. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh.
That's how they promote it.
I didn't know if it was new or whatever. I didn't really read the title, and I was watching it, and I realized it was going to be him just talking on the recent issues, and like you said, Chappelle's been around for so long, and he's kind of one of those voices in comedy where it's like, I was thinking, like, did the crowd know, like, what the set was going to be like? Were they going in expecting, like, a comedy set?
He made a comment about that, too. He's like, this is not funny, huh?
Yeah, but I think for, like, the timing and him going out and just making jokes like a normal set would have been weird, too. So I feel like, as an audience, if I was in that audience, I would have been like, wow, this is incredible.
I don't think Chappelle prepared to speak his mind there. I mean, he probably went in there thinking he was going to say some stuff, but I think he went on a train and then the coal was just hot and he wanted to keep going with it.
Yeah, and I wonder if it was been planned for weeks because he talked about how it was the first major concert since the lockdown started. And then, you know, everything with George Floyd and all the protests happened, so he decided, I have to share my views on this. So, yeah, I think it was, you know, with Chappelle, like I said, he's done it before, so I think the hardcore fans that show up there, they know Chappelle. They know what he's about, and they know that there's a very strong possibility that it was going to be way more serious than it was funny. And like I said, he's just got one of the best minds, the way that he can, you know, just kind of see the world through that unique perspective. It's unlike any intellectual we have today, because I think we can put him in that category. I think he's kind of blurred that line between comedian and just public intellectual that we look at for
He's been around for so long, too, man. He's seen a lot. You can respect what he's saying, because you know he's seen so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's an Instagram model is coming out saying something. It's like his voice actually cares.
Oh, those stupid fucking, you know, celebrity videos.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Paul, you mean well, but you just look so dumb, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Imagine video.
Right, yeah. Just post a link every day for the rest of your life, you know? You want to help? You don't have to go on this on these weird rants.
Well, everyone was just saying, like, how he was just doing Jesse Pinkman at the end.
Like that shit you said, Chappelle, is like, no one gives a fuck what Ja Rule thinking right now. Yeah. Like, why the fuck do I care what you think right now?
Yeah. Oh, you guys want to go to fan questions?
Yeah.
Do you have any topics?
Nah, not really. I mean, The Last of Us is coming out at midnight. It's getting very good reviews.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that since.
Dude, this is the biggest curveball. I'm done looking at anything. Because it's like, the reviews for the game is great, and it's like everyone, but prior to that, everyone's shitting on it.
Well, that's the thing. This game has become, it's once again, it's pick your side and who do you want to fight against on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Because as soon as all the great reviews came out, all the comments under the IGN post, oh, who wants to play a game with a female protagonist? Oh.
Really?
Men are bitches if you want to play with a female. You know, you're not a man. That's what it became.
That's corny then.
And then there's the other side where it's like, if you criticize any aspect of this game, I hate you and you're stupid and you have terrible taste. You
know, it's going to be us.
I wonder.
yeah, that's going to be our side.
I wonder if it's going to be noticeable for me when I'm playing to be like, oh, that's what people, because I didn't look at any of the leaks or what people were saying was so bad with this game. I wonder if I'll be able to notice, like, oh, that's what people, like, I can tell, like, that's what everyone was, I guess, carrying on about.
Well, this is why it is ridiculous to judge a game by these leaks. I mean, those leaks happened and everyone assumed the game's terrible. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, even people that liked the first game read them and were like, this is bad. Well, so I wonder if it was just something where it's going to be one of those decisions that, to us, it seems like you shouldn't get too upset about this. All right, let's go to fan questions here.
That's for the fan to decide.
Yay! People, you call up to the show, you better be ready. That's what you're supposed to do. Sitting there arguing and trying to spell your name and all of this other stuff. It's not your show, it's my show. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind. Don't call up here unless you got something to say.
First one here from Brandon G at Stonks and Bonds. 5 million Twitter followers or $1 million in cash?
Twitter followers.
$1 million.
Yeah, $1 million. Nah, no, followers. Followers.
What are you going to do with 5 million followers?
Figure something out.
Sell Starbucks?
Yeah, I'm going to sell some stuff.
I'll monetize it.
All I got to do is sell $1. Dump $1 product to my 5 million followers, and I get both.
How would you do that?
Advertise on my Twitter with my 5 million followers.
I don't know how much you can make off that.
I think I can do pretty good.
The $1 million, you know, you get it, you invest, you know, then it turns into...
I hate people that say that.
What do you mean?
Oh, you win the lottery, you got to invest. You know, you got to invest. That's how you make more. Like, investing's hard.
Do like safe, low risk.
Like, you just invest
risk.
In KB Toys, you know? I would next day, Mitt Romney comes through, guts it.
Douche. I would put my entire stake of lottery into Apple. Or, like, Tesla or something.
What about Bitcoin?
Has Tesla ever turned a profit?
Yeah. It went from, like, 730 in this past month to, like, 900.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, their stock.
Yeah.
Well, then Elon tweets, it's too high.
He did that?
He always does that, yeah.
How about you? You know, you always ask the questions, you never answer.
I answer the questions.
Answer this one.
Yeah, I'm taking the $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less about followers. Taking one friend, getting the fuck out of here.
You don't want 5 million friends?
A million's not that much anymore.
I'll invest it. This question here from Mason Thorne at money_mace08. This question is for mostly Nash and or Teddy. That's weird, though. If the Snyder Cut is a dinger, will this lead to people wanting more DC movies? And two, with baseball coming back, who are your World Series favorites?
Well, that's for us, for me.
Nash, do you think it's...
Well, Nash, yeah, let's get Nash on the line. If the Justice League is a dinger.
Well, that's like, I always wanted to call up to the Michael Kay Show and ask this like super nuanced, old baseball type question to Peter.
Okay.
I always thought that would be funny. It's like the guy who knows nothing about baseball. Let's get a question for Peter.
Yeah, just specifically for Peter. No one else answer.
No, but realistically, that is a good point, though, because Justice League, think about it. That's like a household movie, Justice League, and you're making a new one, and if it's great, get a new audience.
If this comes out and it's so critically acclaimed and everyone loves it, the fans love it, what happens moving forward? Do they bring Snyder back for another one? Do they convince Affleck to come back?
You would have to. Oh, and, not that, but...
And then you have the two Batmans with Pattinson, and Pattinson's also Indiana Jones now, apparently.
Is there a universe where there's two Batmans in comics?
I'm sure there probably. Is, but, yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. DC is just, they've gone full comic books here. Well, who's your World Series favorite?
Yankees.
Do you even care?
Yankees. If Yankees win, I don't care. I don't care what kind of season it was.
If anyone else wins, asterisk.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's well, 28 we all, if we win, but...
Yeah. We all need to agree as sports fans that whoever wins in any league, that it's not an asterisk or it's a tainted championship. Because every team's having the same...
60-game season, really?
Well, every team is on the same playing field, and do you really think that... And half the teams are going to make it, so once the playoffs start, the teams that are supposed to be there are going to be there.
Hopefully. You never know. There's teams like the Orioles that can go on like a 10-game win streak, and that's
well,
huge.
If they win the World Series and beat other teams in the series in the playoffs, then they deserve the win. Every
if there's
team
50
has,
games for an MLB season, then
every team's
that's
on equal
champion.
Footing.
That's not a championship. 50 games for an MLB season?
It's all about the postseason.
Yeah, but 162.
Yeah, but do you know the comebacks that have happened late in the MLB season where teams have insurmountable
leads?
The
Mets almost made the playoffs.
And then they collapse,
year.
And then another team comes in.
All right, well, every team's on
you're
an equal footing.
You're eliminating the Yankees every year. They always suck after 50 games. This is literally the detriment to our franchise for the last
this is
decades.
Our chance for a chip.
Our entire lives as Yankee fans, they've always sucked in the first half, and then they get it together as the season goes on.
And then
you're going to kill that momentum for teams.
Well, now you got to adjust.
That's an asterisk.
Well, that's why, like,
if you're saying, well, now you have to adjust, asterisk. NBA, asterisk. It is.
I was going to say,
NBA season,
they're still
going to
be considered champions. I mean,
the Lakers were rolling, bro.
1999 was an asterisk season, but no one remembers it. People will eventually forget. I don't know, with COVID, 2020 seems to be a big year. 1999 wasn't that big. 2020 is like, you're not going
to
easily forget this. Yeah.
The basketball season was pretty much over.
Also, asterisk, you're eliminating home court completely. The entire regular season is fighting for home court for the NBA. That's gone.
So if the Lakers
all those
win
games
without
that they fought,
home court,
all those games that LeBron...
How's that an asterisk?
The it's Lakers an asterisk win. If they lose.
Oh, yeah, of course. If LeBron doesn't win, it's not...
Let's move on here. This question here from Jay H, something like that. Arm wrestling tournament between Bo, Aaron, Teddy, and Nash. What are the rankings? I'm last. I'll say that without hesitation. These chicken
me,
arms.
Me, Aaron, Nash, Bo.
I'm not a good arm wrestler. I've never been. Weird.
Bro, winning an arm wrestle is so, like, dominating over someone. It's so nice.
It's so demoralizing. That muscle's coming down. Shoulder. Yeah.
Shoulder.
Bicep.
Bicep.
Never been good in the arm wrestling.
Forearm.
Yeah, it's a whole arm. It's the arm.
It's the arm wrestle.
Yeah, you are arm wrestling. You need a strong elbow, you know?
No, you have a good grip, too.
Good grip. Yeah.
No, well, you grip this thing, too, and then I can go like that.
Right, yeah.
I feel like it's impossible for someone to beat their dad in arm wrestling. You ever try to arm wrestle your dad?
I haven't.
Yeah, I guarantee
now I have
you.
To.
That was the day you became the man in the house.
I guarantee he'll beat your ass.
I get the carving knife for Thanksgiving.
I think that's where all old man strength resides, is the arm.
Well, then it's after you beat him in arm wrestling, you got a one-on-one in basketball, you know?
My dad would house me.
Your dad was nice, dude. He had a
little coaching session after
the
game.
Yeah, he had a little handle to him. Brooklyn.
It's like Stan Van Gundy when he pulled a spin move out in practice.
Dude, seriously, that was Teddy's dad. It was so funny. Like, he's doing spin moves, crossovers. Yo. And your dad's a big guy.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It always looks so much more impressive when big guys can dribble like that, like escalate.
He told me how to shoot.
Yeah. That's all they did, you know, growing up in Brooklyn. But another question here from Jay Eich. Best movie theater food and drink combo. I like a nice large buttered popcorn with a cherry Coke.
Yeah, large buttered popcorn with a Slurpee.
I don't like the Slurpee.
You get it all the time.
I'd never get a Slurpee.
Nice blue slushy.
You at least get 2 or 3 a year.
A nice blue slushy with a water bottle next.
I can't think the last time. Nash is the Slurpee king. But I feel like it's not... After, like, the first few sips, it's not as refreshing.
No,
it's
totally not.
And you're just drinking sugar water.
Yeah, it's just sugar water.
Yeah, but it's worth...
It's not refreshing. It's worth it for the first sip.
Yeah, it's worth it when you go half the popcorn and then you go right to the slushy. That's when it's worth it.
Yeah, those first couple of sips do bang.
Yeah.
But the cherry Coke hits all the time.
And then your teeth feel like they're rotting out of your teeth, out of your mouth.
It's like you take a sip of, like, the slushy when it's, like...
When it's all water.
Half melted, and you get, like, it just dries out your mouth even more.
Well, you have the water with you, too.
Yeah.
I've been leaning towards pretzels and cheese. I don't know why I'm getting that.
Well, that's the thing. When they're the AMC dining.
Before they shut down, at least.
You know, the chicken fingers and fries were pretty...
Oof.
Pretty fucking delicious.
Yeah, there was... Yeah.
It's a weird, though. It's weird.
Just give me popcorn.
It's a weird experience. I felt like at the dining, like, oh, I gotta get it, like, a dinner now. You know, everyone else is getting hamburgers and whatnot.
Well, that theater in Brooklyn is the best one to order from.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
They got that nice vegan toast. Avocado vegan toast. Ooh.
Did me and you split? Did we split something?
We got
something,
queso, right?
Yeah. Chips and queso. And
I got a banana
shit
split.
Was spicy, man.
Yeah.
I was so tired.
I've never been more uncomfortable in my life, though.
Well,
you're sitting like this the entire time.
No, it was pretty spacious, this chair.
Spacious? I mean, it's not as spacious as what we get, but...
I don't understand how either... You're both bigger than me, and you guys don't get tight, ever.
Is Aaron bigger than you?
Claustrophobic. Like, yeah, you know, same size. You know what I'm trying to say.
To me. No, I have no
We're
idea.
Kind of the same size.
In
same
what
build.
Way is Aaron bigger than you?
We're the same build. Well, you're at least bigger than me.
Yeah, I'll give
and,
you that.
And you
one,
don't get tight.
Well, that's because you're fidgety. You're a fidgety guy.
I'm getting tight right now just sitting down in this fucking chair.
Well, that too. I mean, I was after Comic-Con too, so I think it was just a mix of that.
Yeah, I was tired. I was too tired to be uncomfortable.
Did we get drinks before or after?
Before.
Before, right?
Yeah.
We went to the pub.
Yeah, nice Irish pub.
I'm surprised you survived for The Irishman. That surprised me a lot. That theater for 3.5 hours?
No. That was the worst experience of my life.
He started grumbling towards the end.
That was the worst experience of my life.
Just randomly. Are you fucking kidding me? What is this?
That movie wouldn't end, dude. That third act did not end. I thought it was over in the prison.
That theater was
tight. You're not even moving.
I couldn't believe it.
I was into the movie.
I was massaging.
I enjoyed the movie.
I was massaging under my knees because I had to get some kind of like stimulation.
Yeah, you're also a baby.
No, that theater sucked, man.
It did suck.
And I had the prime.
Well, on the review, you're like, oh, I kind of liked it. It was old school.
Yeah. You're like the one that comes with the commercials.
And thinking back on it, too.
Looking back and thinking back, okay.
I had the prime seats for that theater.
Oh, yeah, we fucked it up by not taking those.
No, it was you. It was you, not we.
No.
Yeah, we go right in the middle.
It was me. Yeah.
So I had the one on the side, but it was the first row.
I was getting so jealous, man. There was one guy that kept getting up and walking out, coming back in.
He was
doing it on purpose,
the railing
too.
There, too.
One guy had his feet stretched out. I was like, oh, no.
You know how bad I wanted to crack my knee? This question here from Hugh J. Niss.
Got him.
Wow.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
At Hugh Janus. Good question, too, from Hugh Janus.
You said it so slow.
Yeah.
Hugh Janus.
Because at the end, I
how is it spelled? Like Hugh?
It's Hugh, J, and then Ness. It's also the at. Hugh Janus 5. What do you consider to be the best acting performance of the century so far?
The century so far?
I mean, I feel like I'm 26 years old. I've seen a bunch of movies, a bunch of pretentious movies, foreign films, great performances. It's still Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight for me.
Really?
I still think that's the best acting I've ever seen. So it's the best acting of the 21st century. I mean, maybe that's a fanboy response. Maybe I am blinded by my love of that film. But to me, that performance just never gets old. I could watch and recite every scene every day of my life. I really could. I love that movie and I love that performance. But other guys who were up there, I mean, Delroy Lindo, like we mentioned, one of the best performances of the century by far. Cate Blanchett and Carol, one of my favorite performances.
Blue Jasmine. Yeah, that's probably both. She's
Christoph great. Waltz.
Yeah.
I think he's...
Colonel Hans Landa or...
I voted for Schultz. Bastards, but I think Django might be better.
Really?
I don't know.
Two different characters. I feel like a villain portrayal always resonates more with people.
But he's so good in that final scene. He's like, you want me to shake your hand? He's just so good.
I'm trying to think. Daniel Day is Lincoln. And Lincoln. I think that's one that...
Yeah, well, There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
I gotta rewatch Lincoln, man.
Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour. We saw that together.
I know.
Yeah.
I gotta rewatch that. I feel like I didn't appreciate it when I saw it.
Well, you did mumble in the middle of it. This is so fucking boring.
It was a long...
Come on, man. I was naive back then. I feel like now I'd appreciate it.
Well, that is very much like... That's a dad movie, you know?
Yeah.
That's a Christmas break social studies teacher throws that on. But he is very good in it. And Tommy Lee Jones, too, is Thaddeus Stevens. I think that could be the better performance, honestly. Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Colin Firth in The King's Speech.
I was actually looking at that the other day last night, for Leo not getting nominated for Django.
Yeah.
And I think Tommy Lee Jones got nominated, right, that year?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of other performances, too, that I think he should have
gotten. I thought Tommy Lee should have won that year. Who won that year?
Waltz.
Yeah, it was Waltz, right? Yeah, I thought Tommy Lee was going to win.
Would you count Hugh Jackman in Logan? Or like a movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Hugh Jackman performance. I love that, dude. I love that performance.
I was debating on whether it was the movie or it was him, because the movie was great.
I was so pissed when he and Patrick Stewart were snubbed.
The Lighthouse? Pattinson?
Ooh, yeah. Well, not Defoe.
Dude, do you feel like they're... I don't know. I was going to say, is that just because it came out now and it's fresh?
That's...
Or is that... would that go down as an all-time performance?
I think it's a mix because...
Delroy Lindo in The Five Bloods is one of those performances where it's like, it's not too soon.
Yeah.
I think it's so overwhelming. Hmm. Nobody's really calling the movie a masterpiece. I've seen some people call it a masterpiece, but everyone's praising the performance.
Like, when you first asked the question, immediately just past 5 years came to my head.
Yeah, right, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you go back thinking of, like, in the 2000s. Colin Firth is a good one.
Yeah, King Russell Crowe for A Beautiful Mind, that's 2001.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to think of those early winners.
Yeah, Leo, Aviator, Inception,
yeah,
all those films that he was in. I don't know, there's so many great performances year in and year out.
Well, like I said, Colin Firth in The King's Speech, one of my favorites of the century, without a doubt. This question here from Nick Fontaine at Dirt410. Favorite Palps moment? So, Palpatine.
Oh.
Unlimited power.
Yeah, that's gotta be it.
I love it for so many reasons.
His whole scene in the Senate, when he's talking to the whole Senate.
It's all Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, every scene of his in the prequel is just amazing. I will make it legal.
Or when he's talking to Anakin, when he goes and visits him at the Senate.
Yeah, when they're watching that space opera.
Yeah.
Not from a Jedi.
His head turns and that are fucking electric.
He's got a stiff neck. What do you mean?
It just cracks every time.
I still can't believe he was in The Rise of Skywalker.
So, dude, I hate The Rise of Skywalker.
It's so weird thinking about it now, especially the role he had in that movie. It wasn't just like a...
It's so bad.
It wasn't like you found a beacon and it was like a hologram of him. It was like...
Palpatine is back.
I made... Yeah. For some... I don't know how Palpatine's back. That's really how he said it. And everyone was like, ugh. I love how everyone forgot the Jedi in 20 years, but Palpatine is just fresh in everyone's mind. The decrepit, old, never-seen emperor.
I do like in Return of the Jedi.
Who the hell is Palpatine?
when he's like, Family Guy does a great bit on that when he's being sarcastic.
Oh yeah. It seems the shield will be quite operational.
By the when time your friends arrive.
Like, geez, you don't have to be a dick about it. It's like heads turning all around. He is so good in those movies, man. He and McDermott. This question here from It's Just Xander at the Zandy Man 1376. Favorite PlayStation party moment from the gang?
All the Monopoly moments.
Nash the other night, like a week ago or two, me and my other friend were on a party. We didn't even say anything to him, and he just started fucking freaking out on me.
Yeah, I was pretty happy I came in there late.
Oh, you did
funny.
Come in.
Yeah, it was funny. He got so heated.
Why did he start freaking out on you?
Yo, we have no idea.
Didn't, like, John made a joke, and then you, like, kind of chuckled, and he freaked out on you for laughing?
Yeah, and then he, like, the only thing I said, or anything that could have been offense to him, is something that he said being me. Because there was, like, a while back ago where we were arguing about hockey, and Nash... Like,
oh, that, and I'm that's like, what it was. Yeah, you made a joke about Aaron, Nash being a dick about that.
So I'm like, Nash, like... No offense, like, whatever, like, I don't respect your opinion in hockey or something. You know, it's maybe something...
No offense, though.
Yeah, maybe a dick thing to say, but it was 2 months ago. And then before he freaked out, he's like, oh, yeah, I can't talk about hockey, right, Aaron? Out of nowhere, and just started freaking out on me for something
but,
I said a month
But Aaron
prior.
Had nothing to do with the comment that John made or him and John were talking about. And Aaron just chuckled and then Nash said that.
You guys are all weird. When you all get together, you have all these weird inside jokes and weird grudges that you hold against each other.
Yo, what did Aaron call you in the Monopoly? Lee Sizemore?
Lee Sizemore, yeah.
That was funny, dude.
That
you take offense to that.
That was so funny, dude. Yeah, after I started stopped freaking out, I just had to acknowledge how ridiculous that chat got. Because I was talking big like I was the Mr. Monopoly.
I thought you were the logo.
I said something like... I was like, I see every possible scenario in my head, and then I choose the right one. And it puts them off so much. Well, Nash was all drunk, too. Well, you know, that's Nash in the PS4 party. And he said that I don't make good deals, I make lollipop deals. And that pissed me off, too, yeah. He's like, you're like a doctor, you know, when a doctor gives a lollipop.
Nothing gets better, though, when Nash just gets hyped up when we're playing 2K.
Yeah.
And he starts freaking out.
No, in NHL.
So great.
I think the funniest moment, because we have two friends. We have Nash, obviously, and also Cam, and they're both known as the Screamers when we play 2K. So one time, Nash challenged Cam to a scream-off, and Cam was like, oh, you think you can out-scream me? So Nash goes up, gets fouled, and it was his turn to scream. Screams his head off. You know Nash, does the courage.
Cuts the mic off. That's right, I love when that happens.
So now it's Cam's turn, right? Cam goes up, and you hear his mom in the background. And Cam goes, let's go. And he doesn't scream as loud as he can. And we all just start shitting on him. We're like, you pussy. Cam's like, what do you mean? I'll get loud next time.
You heard his mom in the background before he did it?
Yeah, yeah. His mom like comes in like, hey, Cam. And he's like, let's go.
Yo, when Manny, like, Manny complimented Cam. And Cam's like, yo, Manny, quit sucking me, yo. That was probably the funniest shit I ever heard of
people
my life.
People are going to meet Cam sooner or later because I'm trying to get him on for our Avatar review. But he is a funny fucking kid, man.
Are we
He's
going
just out of
wait,
control.
Are we going to party tonight for The Last of Us?
Well, yeah, I'd like to. Yeah,
me too.
You can't play that game in a party.
No, no. We go in like before the party and then we all go
you
and
you
want
to play the game while...
No, let's like 15 minutes to midnight. We all get in the party. Let's like all take a shot.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
I kind of want to be in the party and play.
No, I want
to
be
gotta, like,
immersed in
the
story.
Game.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You're
there's
blessed.
Shit going on.
I guess I'm gonna have to. Have
well, you
have
never
on.
Talk in a party. First of all,
I literally always talk. I don't
you're
know
in
what?
A party. You just sit there. You mumble to yourself about whatever game you're playing.
Oh, Teddy, we
well,
brought
I fucking ducked.
We brought this up last podcast. How much money have you spent on MLB The Show so
dude.
Far?
Yeah, you come on that. You spend money on your stubs.
I called them.
Contemplating calling Chase and saying this fraud on my account.
There was a fire sale that's the other day where it's like $30,000 and you get a diamond player. And I was playing with a few of my friends, and I was getting the pack, and I'm like, I should call Teddy right now, because I know if I call him, I'll guarantee he'll hop on, spend money, and buy it back.
Go ahead. I was in bed. And I was like, yo, fire sale. automatic diamond. Okay. I think
Ted
I bought,
has joined the party.
And then I think I spent like $100 that night.
I think the packs. Game that I've spent the most on, it's either GTA or 2K. Because I've bought a lot of shark cards.
You Venmo'd me to buy VC once. That's how addicted.
Well, that's because you guys are so goddamn cheap.
I didn't want to spend $50 on 2K. And how many times have we played since then?
Well, that's because all you. Well, it's impossible to play 2K with you guys.
Yeah, I don't, want to play 2K with you guys. Yeah, I don't
Nash
care.
And Aaron, it's just who can be the loudest or the meanest
more
to
obnoxious.
Each other. Yeah. There's no friendship. There's no camaraderie.
And you and Cam want to run point and shoot.
Well, I'm the point, so that's it.
Well, I'll point out something where Nash will criticize somebody, and he'll have like five turnovers.
You said he was inefficient when he went 10 for 10.
He had five inbounds.
He had like 20 boards, too.
Five inbounds stolen from him.
He had like a 20-20 game. He goes 10 for 10 from the field.
And five turnovers.
And the next game, you know, he throws like a full court pass out of bounds, and Aaron's complaining. He's like, you know that? And you're also inefficient.
Nash probably lost it.
Kid just went 10 for 10.
But he's so, like, passive.
Can you shut up? This question here from Pete. No, sorry, not from Pete. Pete Davis.
Are you worried now? You think I caught up again?
Caught up with what?
With a wordplay?
No. I don't care at this point. Just keep, at this point, make your usernames funny things for me to say. Because I'll never catch it. At Pete Davis me. Talk about catch me if you can. For a minimum, 47 seconds, please. Let Aaron take this if you must. Why? I like Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned that the other
time. Yeah, I mentioned
like,
it the other day. Were you not listening, Pete?
It's a great movie.
Catch Me If You Can. That's Leo, right? And
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Christopher Walken. What's there to say about this movie that hasn't been said before?
Yeah, I mean, it's
I haven't seen it in a while, but it is one of those movies where it is Tom Hanks and Leo together are just, it's a great combo.
Yeah, and he's a great character, you know, Frank Abagnale.
Abagnale. Yeah. Just the hijinks he gets into in his kind of...
It's a hijinks.
He's very good at being a con man.
Is he?
My favorite scene of that movie is when Tom Hanks walks into the hotel room and he's pretending to be the detective. That's so good.
That is
Tom Hanks is all stressed out. He's like, yeah, we got my men taking him out in the car. You know.
When he pretends to be
no,
the
airplane scene was the best one. When he sneaks out of the airplane.
Yes, that is a good scene, yeah. Through the bathroom, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm sick. I want to go to the bathroom.
Elizabeth Banks is in that too, right? She plays the banker.
Yes, yeah. And
Amy Adams, she's a nurse.
Martin Sheen plays her father. I think we covered 47 seconds, right?
I wish I could be like a con man like that. Dude is just forging checks, fucking piloting, being a banker, doctor.
Being a con man? I wish. Just imagine being able to get whatever you want just by conning people.
I'm not built for that, though.
Me neither. I'd crumble in a second.
Like Saul Goodman?
Yeah.
It's a good comment.
Yeah, the first time someone like would put any backlash on it, I'd be done.
It's like, oh, you're a doctor. Where'd you go to medical school?
What?
Fucked. Jigs up. Bell.
I wonder if I could con people.
I can con you guys.
You just blew it. All future cons.
Yeah, but that's not anything serious, though.
Yeah, I'm never going to take your advice for anything or invest with you.
I almost caught Nash last week when I dropped the $20 and I took it.
I've got Nash a lot.
It's not really a con more than a robbery. But
well, how much money do you think you owe your friends?
I owe Nash probably a lot, dude, at the bar.
But he willingly spends money.
Yeah, he's reckless with his money.
No, all you gotta do is get him drunk and then ask for a drink.
Yeah, the other day when he's playing music on the PS4 chat, he's like, name this song, I'll Venmo you 20. And he Venmoed me $20. Spent it on gas.
For my car?
No, this is months ago. Yeah, I say we wrap it up, right?
Yeah, I'm dying right now.
Yeah, it's pretty hot in here. So that is the Nerd 2 podcast. I'm getting a new AC next week.
Let's go.
It's not like you can use it, though, while we record.
Yo, I can go for a good, like, surgery. Right?
Like a surgery.
What?
No, just like, you know, you have like a bad knee, right? Now it's like you get the preparation for the surgery, then you go on anesthesia, and then now you have a better knee. Then you're good to go.
Is your knee hurt?
You guys don't like surgery?
Are you serious?
Any kind of surgery? You guys don't like surgery?
I've never had surgery on anything.
I've had a surgery on my knee. Yeah, it helped.
Love
it.
Surgery.
What do you need surgery?
Why do you
on?
Love
nothing? Just getting put under.
Do you get like?
And
a
you wake up. You get people caring.
You're a drug addict.
You got people caring for you.
You get a thrill from them repairing a ligament or your body.
No, just like the aftermath mainly, recovery process. People caring.
So you just want to be perpetually in physical therapy. You always want to be getting better from something.
Yeah.
Because you like that people baby you.
Yeah.
Like you liked when I picked you up from the dentist's office after removing your wisdom teeth, and Elena was like, oh, honey.
Yeah, it was great.
What's wrong?
Like, no, I'm fine.
Just admit, you want to be the little spoon, you know?
I just said I did.
I do want to get a...
That is true.
I am dying for a nice chiropractor hit. I feel like, you know, I'm cracking my back.
What phase are those in?
What?
What phase are those in? Three or four?
I think you can go open? Right now. Yeah. But I want...
Get on the floor. I'll crack your back.
You ever see the one where they pull your neck and your whole... Oh, my God. I need that.
I can't watch it, but I'll let them do it. I can't watch, though.
Oh, I love watching those videos.
Oof.
Remember that time I accidentally kept like a second of a chiropractor video in one of the reviews?
Yes, you did.
What?
Because there's an animation where Aaron's character is like cracking his neck. So I took like the sound from a chiropractor video. But at the very end, there was like a split second somebody gets their neck cracked. It's like this woman just...
It was an accident?
Yeah, like at the very end of the video. And everybody's like, what the fuck is that clip at the end of the video? So weird.
That's why you just got to download the MP3.
Right, yeah.
The sound effect.
Well, I like to see it, you know, match it up. All right, everybody, that's a Nerd Soup podcast. I am dying of sweat right now, but yeah, comment, share.
Comment
it.
Chiropractor.
Yeah, if you're still listening, comment, I love surgery.
Okay, yeah.
Don't you love a good surgery?
Yeah.
It's funny because that's not even a bit, you know? Only Teddy could think of that on the spot.
But I can't believe you guys don't feel the same way.
No, I don't. I don't.
You don't like the, if I, the
you're literally like Phantom
surgery.
Thread. You know, have you seen Phantom Thread?
No.
It's like where the wife, spoilers, if you haven't seen Phantom Thread, the wife, Phantom Thread, if the wife is poisoning the man, right?
Yeah.
So that she can take care of him, so that he depends on her. And that's how, you know, that's what she likes to do. She likes to feel.
I don't want to pamper people.
No. But then he starts to feel like, okay, I like this too. Poison me. Poison me and take care of me. That's you. Yeah. You're like,
he starts to find out?
Yeah, he finds out, but then he's like, okay, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Like, poison me. It's fine. That would be you. You'd be some freak.
It's kind of like going on vacation. It's like you're excited to go on vacation, like the preparation, you know, that it happens.
What the fuck are
you
doing?
You guys are not getting what I'm saying.
No. Can you get closer to the mic?
You guys are not getting what I'm saying.
No,
at
this
all.
Is. You're just a sick freak, really.
If you have a fucked up shoulder,
yeah, like
and you can't wait to get it repaired.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you finally
sense.
Get it repaired.
That makes sense.
It's like scratching an itch, basically.
Yes, there you go. That's better.
That makes sense.
It's so extreme.
Yeah.
The costs, the anesthesia, the doctors.
Teddy, you didn't convey any of that. Like, oh, my knee hurts. I really want to get a surgery so my knee would stop
Does
hurting.
Does your knee hurt?
No. No, I'm just. You guys are making this a lot more than what it is.
Well, that's a Nerd Soup podcast for you, folks. We'll be back next week if Ted's surgery goes all right.
I don't think my brain will recover from this.
Oh, guess the video's over. Ended pretty abruptly. Hey, guys, Bo Oliver here for one final send-off. And before we go, we would like to thank our very special Patreon members, pledgers, whatever you guys want to call yourselves. You keep the lights on here at the studio. So it's really our pleasure to review all these movies, TV shows, video games that we all know and love. And we actually have a couple of shows that have been suggested by Patreon members that we will be reviewing in the next couple of weeks. And if you're a fan of anime, get excited because we have Neon Genesis, My Hero Academia, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, not technically an anime, but also Castlevania. And of course, if you want to visit our Patreon page and pledge, see the different rewards that we have, maybe you can suggest a show, a movie, a video game. Or maybe you don't want to do any of that. Honestly, watching up until this point of the video is good enough for me. So, thank you out there, and stay safe.